We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. We began a study last Lord's Day entitled, Can We Agree in Religion? The answer is an emphatic yes, we can. There are many reasons why we say this, but number one, we noted last Lord's Day, Christ prayed that we may be one in will and in word. I want to begin today by reading again the text found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. At last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. The people with whom I have been associated agree that the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, with the proper witnesses testifying to the same. When the Apostle Paul was facing people who did not believe in the resurrection from the dead, what was his attitude? In that same letter, Paul said, "Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. In Athens, he said, "He," that is God, "hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Acts 17, 30 and 31. Their reaction to this preaching was, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked." Acts 17 and verse 32. This did not keep Paul from preaching the gospel. Those who believe the Bible today will not refrain from preaching the gospel because others mock and persecute them. We must not shun to declare all the counsel of God. Acts 20 and verse 27. Now, here is a question. What is the promise of the gospel? Read with me the following verses. First of all, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Among those who believe the Bible, it is generally agreed that Christ promises everlasting life. Acts 3:19. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." It is likewise agreed that the Lord promises to blot out our sins. Acts 5:32. "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him." It is agreed that Christ promises the Holy Ghost to all them that obey him. We understand that this is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the miraculous outpouring that the apostles received. If so, we could do the things that this Holy Ghost baptism enabled them to do. It guided them into all truth, John 16 and verse 13. It does not give us that miraculous power to know all truth today, but we depend upon the Spirit's sword, the Word of God, for our truth, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. If men were baptized with the Holy Ghost, as were the apostles, they need no Bible. They could write one. That is what those inspired men did. We agree upon the promises of the gospel. Now let's notice the commands of the gospel. Acts 16 and verse 31, if you will. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Religious people in general are agreed that faith is a command of the gospel. It must also be a faith that is coupled with repentance. Luke 24 and verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There are very few religious people that I have met who believe that man is saved before he repents. They may say he repents before he believes, but it is a rare case that says he is saved before he repents. Repentance is a command of the gospel. Jesus said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. It is essential, and I mean by essential, necessary, an absolute to salvation. My friend, we have agreed thus far, at least, those who believe the Bible are agreed on these points. Now let's ask another question. Why have we agreed? Is it not because we can understand the facts and the promises of the gospel? We understand that Jesus died for our sins, do we not? We understand that he was buried in a tomb, do we not? He also arose from the dead, do we believe that? And that according to reliable witnesses. We understand that he promises us remission of sins, the Holy Ghost, and everlasting life. Who says we cannot understand the Bible? We do on these points. God is just. He asks us to obey him and receive salvation. Only those who obey him will have eternal life. Matthew 7 and verse 21. He would not make his will impossible to understand. That would make him responsible for our damnation. Who would believe that? Certainly, it is not God's fault if we are lost. The reason why we preach the same facts and promises of the gospel is because we preach just what the Bible says, no more and no less. How do we know, or how can we preach, that Christ was buried? The Bible tells us this hundreds of times. How can we know our buried body will arise? The Bible tells us this many times. We can preach the same commands also by following the same plan. We preach the same facts because we preach what the Bible says. We preach the same promises because we preach what the Bible teaches or says. We can preach the same commands if we preach what the Bible says. Now, what most churches preach, however, is not based upon the Bible. Most churches preach that faith and repentance are essential to salvation. Now, what would happen if the pulpits of our land would ring it with all the commands of the gospel? For example, what a revolution it would cause if preachers would stand and quote these scriptures without addition, subtraction, or substitution. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. How many would preach that even this day? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and verse 38. How many preachers are going to preach exactly what the Bible teaches in Acts 2 and verse 38? And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. How many preachers this day will preach that verse just as it is? Would not the reaction be the same as that of the eunuch in Acts 8 and verse 36 who said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Why is it that the pulpits are silent as the tomb on this subject? Why do the large revival campaigns leave these great scriptures out of their preaching? Did Peter and Paul and Philip fail to speak on this great command of the Bible? Who is shunning to declare the whole counsel of God? Yes, we can agree. You can see how easy it would be to speak the same things, don't you? It can be done only by telling the people what Jesus, Peter, and Paul told the people in New Testament days. What if one failed to tell that Christ arose from the dead? That would be a failure to preach the whole gospel. That the same is true when one fails to tell people that baptism is essential to man's salvation. What would happen if all the facts, commands, and promises of the gospel were preached by all men? We would be one as Christ and the Father are one, one in will and word. What would this lead to? It would lead to the salvation of souls. This is the only thing that preaching the whole gospel can lead to. It would lead to a destruction of denominationalism and division. We can agree if we tell people what the Bible says. We can agree on what the Bible calls the followers of God, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, Acts 11:26. We can never agree upon the names Methodist, Baptist, or Adventist. We can agree on the Bible name in the same manner as we agree on the facts of the gospel. The Bible gives us those. We now agree that Christ was buried. The Bible tells us so. We can in like manner agree that we are to be buried with the Lord in baptism. Why? The Bible tells us so. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Romans 6 and verse 4. How can you do that other than the way the Bible says to do it? This is the way in which religious people can all speak the same things. In New Testament times, when men obeyed the gospel, the Lord added them to his church, Acts 2 and verse 47. By the way, there was no voting of a synod, a conference, or a group of folk who decided to vote somebody in. That is not found in the Bible at all. The Lord added the saved to his church, his body, Acts 2 and verse 47. You see, if we did the same things today, we would be added to the same church. Then we could say, as Paul said, there is one body. And that one body, according to Paul again, in Colossians 1 and verse 18, is the church of our Lord. Our prayer is that that will be your desire. We hope even today that you want to become simply a Christian. And we don't want to underemphasize that term, Christian. It means belonging to Christ. When one is a Christian, he belongs to Christ. He is our Lord and our Master. Why not become a Christian today? You can do that by belief in Jesus Christ as the divine Son of God. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. We're also to repent, as we've seen today. Unless we repent, we'll perish, Luke 13:3. Then we are to acknowledge with our mouth what we believe in the heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. And then arise and be baptized and have your sins washed away by his precious blood, Acts 22 and verse 16. Why not do that today? Allow us to assist you. If you have a question or comment in regard to our lesson, send it to me. We'll be glad to reply to you. We encourage you to worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for worship, and again this evening at 6 o'clock. We also meet on Wednesday evening at 7, and again, there are classes for every age group. Our building is located at 601 Washington Street, St. Albans, West Virginia. We are located just across from the Hansford Center. Most people know where that is located. We encourage you always to study your Bibles to see whether or not we really can be agreed in religion. From our study, we know that we can be. but it is a matter of making up our minds to study the Bible just as it is. Will you do that? Until next week, as once again we present Words of Truth, we bid you a good day.